everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Chanel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I have had a couple people reach out actually and ask about remodeling a house, purchasing a house in Luxembourg. If you come here and you like it and you want to really put down roots, there's probably no better way to do that than buying a house. And you, my friend, have actually bought four houses. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Amazing. So you are here to shed some light on the process of that and tips about vendors. Assume that we are starting from zero knowledge, because that is what I am starting with. And I feel like the people that have written in probably also, unless you've been here for a long time, you probably haven't tackled buying a house and remodeling a house. So I want to hear all about that. But first, let's start, like I start every episode. Tell me your Luxembourgish story. Where are you from? Why are you here? Etc.
Okay. Yes, my name is Chanel Gresham, and I have been here for almost 17 years. Oh my God, it's a long time.
That's a long time.
I'm Danish. I'm from Denmark. However, I didn't come straight from Denmark moving here. It was a bit of an adventure. I was living in Cayman Islands for 8 years.
Wow.
And I met this handsome guy, and we had a daughter, and my desire was to go back to Europe somewhere. Heard the experience of languages, of culture. So we moved when she was 9 months old, or 6 months old, and we moved to Luxembourg because my husband happened to get a job in the financial area.
So you arrive in Luxembourg. Lead us to buying your first house here.
Yeah. When I got here, my most important thing going somewhere is to integrate, no matter how long I'm going to stay. Having a child, my first instinct was really to get her into the local school, because that way we could, as a family, integrate. And I just had a baby. I was probably still nesting, if I look back. The house was for me probably the most important thing I had to do when I first arrived, which made me busy. I remember clearly my daughter was in a stroller jogger, and we would be jogging Luxembourg for hours. And poor little girl, she was not walking much at all, even though she was in the start of learning to walk, but she was sitting hours in that stroller. My husband was working long hours. Basically, I had nothing else to do, but also it was my aim. It was a task to find a home. Back then, luckily, you came in on a package deal. So we had housing for 3 or 4 months. So that was all paid for. We were also settled in Neudorf. I don't know if anyone knows Neudorf. It's a beautiful area of town. It's in a valley, yes, which we have a lot of in Luxembourg.
It's in the city?
It's in the city. It's by Klausen, Pfaffenthal, and then Neudorf. It belongs to the city by now. Back then, it was a suburb, a quartier, and not very, how can I say, social economic, not very well seen.
Should we call it an up-and-coming neighborhood?
Yes. It was addressed for Portuguese because most of the Portuguese people was working at the brewery. When we started to buy, and this is something what the listener should contemplate when they are buying the location, where are we buying? Are we buying in an area which is not so well seen at the moment? But if you look at the area, if you see any architect's home, there's a lot of investment going into an architecture home, meaning that area may be up and coming.
What is an architecture home?
Architecture home is, for instance, if you look at a house and you're thinking, oh my, there's so much details in it. There's large windows to catch the sun or the light. There is an extension which might have bigger windows than the typical home in Luxembourg is. A bit like a townhouse. You always have the storages, you always have smaller windows out to the street, and maybe if you're lucky, larger window in the back, but normally the same windows in the back. So meaning you're never catching the light.
Oh.
So that is typical I would say, looking at all these houses in town, that's a typical Luxembourgian house, old house from the 19th century.
So this area back in 2007, you were seeing some of them had been redone.
Yes, some of them have been redone, but that was not what I was looking at back then. That is my advice for now. However, the Portuguese were selling up because they were in the retirement age and they were not going to stay in Luxembourg for their retirement. They were going back to Portugal. So there were a lot of them were selling up for a good price. So we were lucky to get in. Now, I also have to say, I have ADHD, so I have this creative visual thinking.
Okay.
When I go into a house, I immediately can see the potential. So I went into an old house, 1920, and I have to say nothing had been done ever since the people moved in, and they had been living in there for 20 plus years, retired by now and wanted to go back to Portugal. And I get into this house, which was for sale, and then it wasn't. You need to be passionate about or a strong will that this is really what you want, because the real estate might also not always, maybe by now they're too busy to sell that house you wanted. There's a sign up, the houses, and everyone who has been looking to purchase a house, you either buy now straight away and sign the compromis de vente, or your dream house is gone within the week.
Because the market is that
hot. Because the
right
market
now.
is that hot. So meaning that if you see a house, you knack, literally just knack. I saw this house back in 2007. I was totally in love with this house. It was old, shabby. Nothing had been done. I remember all the rooms were small and you went into little doors. I just remember when my husband went in to see it for the first time, we had already purchased. And he said, "Oh my God, Chanel, what were you thinking?" And I said, "What do you mean? This is our dream home." And he could see none of that. Not at all. The real estate wasn't keen on selling at that point in time. So I went to knock on the door because we were living in Neudorf at the time. That was the reason I went in love with this catchy. It was close to town. There was buses running. I loved the character in the street. And I have tons of friends today. We're not living anymore in Neudorf, but I still have friends, and there was the little Spielshaul next to our home, and my children both went to that. It was just, it felt right. Aww. I have to say, it felt really right. We were looking everywhere, but still close radios, because my husband said, "I'm not going to take a car or a bus to work."
Oh, he has to walk to work.
He wanted to walk or take the bus, but minimum range. So okay. He could walk from Neudorf and he could take the bus. So that was the criteria. And also the other thing we were asking back then, what are the benefits for living at the border? Now today I can see that there is huge potential to live at the border because A, the pricing is a lot cheaper in Germany and France. So you get value for money, depending on what you're looking for. But you need to look at social economic standard in your area where you're living. Maybe not necessarily when you're buying, but as I mentioned before, if you can see there's either architectural home or there is a whole reset of people retiring, selling up, and you will be the new incomer living there and build up a new society in that area. That is where you have to put your feelers out, go to the bars, pubs, restaurants in the area, get to know people, talk to them, and then see, get the feeling for that area, and then look into the school, even though you might not have a child yet. But look in and see. Just observe what's going on in the school or go in and be curious and see, oh, can I visit one day? I'm thinking of having a child. And every child will have to go, if you choose the local school, to the area you're living in. You are restricted for a local school that your child is rolled into that area. And you don't actually have another choice unless you have an address from a grandma or a family member in another katje. So be familiar with the school, whether you like the curriculum, at least the philosophy of what they're teaching. The curriculum in smaller classes is not so important. It becomes important in primary school. Actually, you also have to begin from the beginning. If your finances, your investment is covering only a part of the deposit and you have to borrow a large amount.
Have a mortgage. Yeah.
Have a mortgage. Meaning that you are probably going to buy an old structure, but a good structure, and renovate it. This is probably where we're talking, because we are talking about renovations.
Yes.
But back then, I had no idea what to do, how to make this happen. The real estate who sold me the house, she said, what are you going to do with the house? Because it was clearly you had to do something with this house. And I said, I want to renovate it, actually transform it. I have this vision. And she said, do you need an architect? Yes, I do. So she introduced me to an architect straight away, and he was German. Now, I do speak fluently German, and I like the German mentality because they are just straight on. They're not talking through the flowers. They're just, this needs to be done. They're just straight off the heart, and I like that a lot. So we clicked straight away. Now, talking about an architect, I have to put this in. Now, there's architects and architects. An architect is there for you to invest in him fulfilling his dream of the house you bought. This is an architect vision. That is what an architect is for, and we want him being like that because his vision will eventually be our vision. So he did a plan for us, and I loved it. I really loved it, and I would talk to him, put my ideas in for the house, what I could see happening, and together we planned this beautiful house.
Okay, so tip is, if you find an architect and they give you their vision and it is not closest to yours, this is not the architect for you.
Or can you work with him that your vision becomes his vision and vice versa? Because an architect can also give you a lot more tips what you can do. My vision was to integrate the old part of the house and build an annex with a new part of the house with lots of windows, because again, it was a townhouse, lots of small windows, but no light could come in. And if you are living in a valley, you really do want the light. Especially when you have a large forest in the back, which shades you for 3 months and a year in winter time.
Oh, I totally think which way your house is facing is a big deal.
Yes, exactly. So that is where the sun comes. If the location of your house is in a valley, then it's even more important that you have a south-facing house.
You want your house to be facing south. So does that mean your front door is facing south,
yes,
or your backyard?
Exactly. No, then you get the door facing the sun all day, and then it moves on to your garden in the afternoon. Basically, that's what happened with south. If you have the garden, the house facing north, then you have the garden facing the sun, so facing south.
Wouldn't you want a west-facing house?
It depending on, again, where you're living. If you're living in town, you will have all the houses around you, meaning that you need the sun. So you need the sun standing high. So if you have a south-facing house, you will actually have the sun from morning to evening, because in summer, the sun is higher than in winter. So no house can block that sun at one given time throughout the day.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you have west facing or north facing, you will only have the sun at one period at the day, time of the day. And that would be when the sun is highest if you're living in town, meaning that might be almost no sun because you'll be working full time.
Got it. Okay.
So you understand. So yeah, south facing for sure.
Let's talk about your renovations. You found this German architect.
Don't have the architect making your finances. It's very important because there is no limit. That's what I learned. They are there to fulfill their vision, and it is from your pocket. It is your investment. So you have to really look at the finances if you don't have a conservative budget for your housing. We didn't have a conservative budget. We had a deposit and we knew the rest comes from the bank. But of course, the less I could finance the house, the better. I quickly found out that my finances was not his interest. So let's go in the depth of renovation, or at least how do we start? Because that was your original question. How do we start? So location is important. Schooling, if you have children or you want to have children, make sure social economic exists in Luxembourg. I didn't know this. It does. So better schooling is, of course, on the top of the hill. Luxembourg is very hilly. If you go in a valley, social economics becomes
less.
And if you go on top of the valley, being in the sunshine, as we have just talked about, social economics become a lot more. Depending on your character, where do you want to live? Do you want to live with expats? They're certainly in the sun. If you want to live with local, they might be less in the sun, more in the valleys. So depending on what you're seeking. So contemplate before you look for an investment or your first home, contemplate what is your values before you get in and spend a million plus for your investment. Now, coming to how do you proceed? So you buy this property of a real estate, you sign the compromis de vente, but with a clause saying it can only falter if the bank says you're not getting the money. Make sure that you vaguely know from a bank that you actually get the amount of money you think you need for the purchase and the renovation.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a waste of your time.
Exactly. So when you purchase that home, you are 90% sure that it will not falter and this is your home where you want to live and invest money in. So what I did, because I wanted to transform, not just renovate. Renovate is for me changing flooring, wallpaper and so forth. But transforming for me means that you scoop walls, you knock down walls, you leave the main three walls, the character of the house, but then the annex out in the back will be completely transformed. And inside, I took a lot of internal walls away to make larger rooms, more light. The roof was completely renewed, so I got light in from the room and so forth. Once you know vaguely, is it internal renovation or is it external as well? You can actually yourself go to the architect urbanism in town. It's by the GAR and ask these questions. There is something called catastra document and it has a complete, how can I say, history of your house. Oh. It says where the borders are to your neighbors. It tells you how far can you actually extend your home in the back. There's certain rules. Can I transform this into two apartments or three apartments? Or can I extend the roof so it gets higher so you get more square meters out of it? And so forth. And with that catastra, they have that at the Architect Urbanism Office Department.
Can you get access to that before you buy the house?
Yes, you can. You go to the Catastra Amt in town. So if we are living in town, you go to town. You back then you had to pay €5 or whatever, and they were handed out to you. And it also has the clause. So the clause are HAP 1, HAP 2. So if you have HAP 1, you can build more than one apartment. If you have or maybe, yeah, no, true. And if you have two, you can, it's a family home, so you can do nothing with it apart from extend it. And then you go with that, or the architect urbanism already have it. You make an appointment and say, what house are we talking about? And they will already have it prepared for you. And then they will tell you what you are able to do. And this is what I did before I bought, even knowing that my real estate was slow selling. I knew that nothing is going to happen with the house. Also, I knew that it was not a house you sell right then and there because, as my husband said, what have you bought?
Most people would not go for this extreme fixer-upper.
Exactly. Basically, you can go there and get all most of your answers already answered. Yeah, most of your questions already answered by the architects there. Now, this is what I learned recently. If you are talking about internal only, if you're talking about renovations, painting walls, new flooring, internal walls moved or shifted.
Maybe redo the kitchen, redo the bathroom kind
exactly.
of things.
Yeah, exactly. But no external wall are shifting at all. And you don't change the outside, the look of outside, and you don't change the windows or make them bigger or whatever, larger, so more light comes in. But you leave the ground basic structure as it is. And you only renovate inside. And if you want to move walls internally, I have just learned from the architect office that you look at a plan and you can yourself draw the lines where you want the walls internally. And with that, you can go to, without paying a cent, you can go to Architect Urbanism and they may approve that planning. And with that, you make your procurement, get your company in and do it for you.
Wow. So you just bypass the whole architect if you know what you're doing, which I would never. But that's super cool for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about procurement.
Yes.
You mentioned something like you asked for quotes from five different vendors and you got wildly different budgets. Talk to me about that.
Yes. I would just literally spend hours on the street and just write down names of construction companies going through this busy road. And I would call them. And I would call five different companies in each different area. So we are talking about flooring, painters, kitchen designer, internal designer, tailor-made cabinets and so forth. And I would just take three of them and then I would just write to them and ask for a quote. And some of them would never come back to me and some of them would. But I can tell you in three quotes, so I took three quote of each and three quote would change 70% of their quote with the same thing. Would be different pricing to 70% higher in some places. Of course, yeah.
Wow.
It's worth doing. It's worth to get quotes. Now, today it's also worth because the last property I renovated or transformed was in 2019. And there was companies I had never worked with before. And I have to say, if you know the company or someone who has been working with the company before, it's valuable insights you can get from the people who has been working with them before because I had some dodgy companies and I had to release them in the middle of the job. And these things are delaying your time frame. It's financially going out the window for something you're not happy with. And saying that you're releasing them from a contract you have signed is also very difficult. And if you're lucky, they don't sue you. But it's all budget or financial and time consuming. So I would recommend to know someone who has been working with the company before. The house market is a critical subject in politics and has been for 17 years. When we are talking about construction companies, they can take anything they want. They can predict the market of what it costs to paint. Wow. It's almost monopoly of construction workers. So when you hire someone that they want to work in a private project or with a private project, that's something you have to sweeten them up with, that this is going to be excellent. I have a good plan and an architect and what have you, and knowing what you're doing, because otherwise they're not even taking it on because there's so much work out there in the public section, what needs to be done. So and that yesterday.
You need a job, go for a construction worker. Not me, but in theory.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the other thing, that it's not enough people who want to do it. There's not enough people in the company themselves. They're looking for people. But that's a different thing. But it is really hard. And every time, if I didn't have my basic construction worker, which had worked for me in the past, I wouldn't have been able to start the construction site at all. And that is the other thing. So when can you start your construction site? You pay your house, and when can you start? That's, again, up to the construction workers. When do they start with your project? That is when you sit down, when you found your construction worker or your company, you sit down and you fill out a written agreement and say, listen, this is what you do for me. You have the offer, obviously, in front of you. So this is what you do for me. But timeline, if you can, a deadline. Because they come whenever it suits them. If they have a and then ask them if they have major projects in town or where elsewhere in Luxembourg, and how much men they can set aside to your little, for us it's huge, but little project, private project. Because it's crucial, because they don't show up. If they have a major project, they are in timeline for that, because most likely it's from the state. So they will only come to you and work on your little project when they have the time. So that could be 3 times a week, maybe an afternoon, or not at all that week, or not at all next week. So make sure you have a timeline written down by the company, and that you physically yourself go to the construction site every single day, and sometimes 3 times, to make sure that they actually are showing up. If they show up every morning at 9 o'clock, you're pretty much sure that they will stay for the day. But come, just in case, come again at 2 o'clock and make sure that the same workers are still there, because they will disappear like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And what happens if you find that? Then you call their boss and say, what the hell?
Oh, definitely. And have the boss hat on. Very important. Be confident. Be firm what you're saying. Also with the workers. Don't be larifari or look like you have absolutely no idea what you're doing. If you are your project manager for the house where you can save lots of money doing your own project, if you're comfortable with it, obviously. But make sure they see you as comfortable, because we have a lot against us. First and foremost, we're women.
I was just about to ask, is this a sexist industry?
Yes, very much. If you don't speak the language, I was lucky, most of the construction worker I hired were German or Luxembourgian, so I could speak with them in their language. So that was okay. So I could sound convincing. But nonetheless, make sure that they know that you know what you're doing, because they will always trick you on not doing what they were supposed to do from the plans. So when you go in your bathroom and you have orange tiles rather than beige or something, oh, madame, I'm sorry, I didn't see. But this is what they do if they don't respect you as the project manager. Then they will take the tile, which was really not for the tiling on the walls, it was for the flooring. But now it's done. Oops. So
do you make them redo it?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Then they have to redo. And I tell you, if they redo, they're only doing that once. That's very important. How you present yourself will give the workers respect. Obviously, it's not everyone who is disrespectful or don't take you for granted, but it happens often in that line of work. Wow. It happened a lot for me. Maybe it's different for me and you won't have these issues at all. Yeah, I was going to say my project manager advice, but that was actually all of it. Deadline, how you present yourself, and make sure you have a good conversation line between the head of the department in the company and yourself. So you always know if there's something going wrong here, you have one person in particular you can go to and say, listen, this was not at all what we discussed.
Okay.
Rather than maybe always take it up with the worker, because they normally they hide behind their boss and say, oh, I didn't know, this is what I was told. So make sure you always have a direct person you can go to to complain.
Did you want to talk about subsidies or something with energy?
Yes, I just want to say, I know we have a new government. It's conservative again. And I know also that they are going to change the legislation for construction sites. But if we are talking by renewable sources or green renewable for our housing when we renovate, so I just installed a heating pump. I got 50% subsidies for the heating pump. So rather than paying $30,000, I pay $15,000.
Wow.
That gets reimbursed. Now, there's subsidies that was under the Green Party for solar power. And if you wanted to renovate with green renewables inside, so rather than have walls from, what is that, plaster, you will have walls from straw or something else, or you will insulate with different material. Especially in your roof, it would be different material, so green source. But I would say the main thing here is, when we're talking about green energy, is your solar power and the electricity. Where is your electricity coming from? And that would be subsidized by the state until now. But again, when you look into these things, make sure that you read the clause, because with the new government, I know they are restricting some of these legislation.
Is there a website like MyGoucher or something?
Yes, good question. Yes, MyGoucher would have all the law legislation for construction in the website. And I forgot one very important thing. When we renovate ourselves, when it's our first home, we get a reduction of VAT. So normally VAT on all goods we buy is 17%. However, we can get a reduction of 14%, meaning it's 3% VAT you buy on all your construction equipment, all the material. To do so, you also go on MyGoucher and you find the declaration form, how you do that. So basically, you can direct apply for the 3%, meaning that when you get the invoices by the companies, you can obviously, in negotiation with them, you say, okay, I would pay the 3% straight away because you get the rest from the VAT declaration rather than from you. So you do this form straight away before you pay the bills. And then you hand it into the declaration, and they will pay the invoices to the company with the 3% VAT. Or you claim it afterwards and send in all your invoices from the company, and you get the 14% VAT back. Now, the limit for this is 50,000, but having it or not having it, that's extraordinary. I have to say, it really saves you a lot of money.
You could save basically up to 50,000.
Yes, exactly.
All of this is just making me feel like Europe is the place to be, especially Luxembourg. Okay, Chanel, thank you so much. This has been really informative. This is not what you do as a profession, but no. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing this wisdom with us.
Yes, no, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Hayley.